This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, March 29, 2021. We're only 3 days away from opening day. Taylor, how cool is that?
Very cool. I cracked open the computer to put together the rundown last night, and there is just a flurry of news to discuss. I was very excited. It felt like we're in season. We're almost there. Almost there.
Man, it's incredible. Yeah, the idea of getting on a plane for the first time in more than a year. Travel down for that first broadcast we're going to do, Mets against the Nationals on Thursday night. Really excited about it. Taylor Schwenk, of course, producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut. I'm Buster Olney. I'm working from my home studio in New York for today. Later in the week, I'll be other places, which will be fun. Before we get into the news and notes of today, I just want to say thanks for all the great feedback we got on the Alex Verdugo feature we ran on Friday's podcast. No question, this is something I want to do a lot of going forward, Taylor.
Oh, yeah. The response was great. We really appreciate it. You know, I had laid out, you know, we're trying to do an NPR style feature, and someone who worked at NPR said that's exactly what it sounded like. So I was very excited to get that feedback.
Wow. I didn't see that. Yeah. You got that kind of response. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. All right. News and notes. Yankees first baseman Luke Voit, who was the home run champion in the American League for the 60-game season last year, is going to start the year on the injured list because of a partial meniscus tear. It typically is about a 6-week type injury. The Yankees, of course, have a lot of depth, and they added to that by putting Jay Bruce on their roster over the course of the weekend, the veteran outfielder, first baseman, who will be part of their lineup when they face right-handed pitching. The Colorado Rockies are unsure when Scott Oberg will return from surgery that he had last Thursday to remove blood clots in his pitching elbow. It's uncertain whether or not he's going to be able to pitch this year. Boston Red Sox lefty Eduardo Rodriguez will have to wait a little longer before returning to a big league mound. He, of course, was not able to pitch last year because of COVID-19. He's finishing up spring training this year with what is referred to as dead arm. Red Sox reliever Matt Barnes tested positive for COVID-19. Alex Cora said that there are 8 members of their organization who are currently sidelined because of contact tracing. He just told reporters, I saw this as we got ready to start the podcast, that there were no more positive tests today. Pablo Sandoval made the Braves opening day roster. The Braves love his ability to come off the bench and pinch hit. Randy Dobnak, Minnesota Twins pitcher, agreed to a 5-year, $9.25 million extension that includes 3 club options. That, according to our Jeff Passan. Major League Baseball Players Association chief Tony Clark told the Boston Globe in an interview that the players are very much aware about the Georgia law that was signed by Governor Brian Kemp over the weekend, reforming voting by mail, and greater legislative control over how elections are run. There is a question as we move forward about whether or not Major League Baseball might consider moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta for this year in response to what happened with that. Freddie Freeman on Sunday went deep for Atlanta.
If they keep on keeping on, as Freddie lifts this one deep toward left, that ball's going to carry to the fence and over it into the bullpen. Freddie Freeman ties the game with a 2-run homer. Freddie's hit the ball to left twice today. Jeff, you talk about a good sign. How about that big blow?
A great sign. That was Chip Carey on the Braves television network. When Freddie Freeman's at his best, he's taking the ball to left field. Joey Gallo had a moment on Sunday.
Well, the 3 runs in and 2 outs, and this one in the air out to left field. Hit pretty well. And up in the wind like that, it is gone. Gallo with a 3-run shot, and he doubles the output in the inning. It's now 6-0.
The Toronto Blue Jays have a new double play combination.
Left-handed hitter, Bo behind the bag, flips to Semien, steps on the bag for one. Oh, what a double play! Bo Bichette actually went past second base, had to flip the ball behind him. Semien was there waiting for the toss, took it, and made a great turn.
Buck Martinez on the Jays television network. And there was really devastating news over the weekend. Minnesota Twins bench coach Mike Bell, the brother of Reds manager David Bell, the son of longtime manager player Buddy Bell, passed away of cancer at age 46. Mike Bell had surgery January 28th to remove a growth that was discovered earlier that month. He'd taken a leave from the team to focus on his health. Twins manager Rocco Baldelli said at the start of spring training that his top assist in the dugout was very, very optimistic about his recovery. We'll be talking with Tim Kirchin about Mike Bell. Before we get to Tim and Rob Biertemple of The Athletic to talk about the Pirates in a preview for 2021, and we're going to hear from Dave Martinez, the manager of the Washington Nationals, about lineup protection for Juan Soto, just want to say, fight fans, if you want the best UFC experience, you need ESPN Plus. With every pay-per-view event, like Fight Nights, exclusive originals, and an extensive archive, ESPN Plus delivers. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. And today on ESPN Daily, Juan Soto is positioned to be the next face of Major League Baseball, and he's just 22 years old. As the season gets ready to start, Jeff Passan shares how Soto is changing the game. That's on ESPN Daily. Listen on your favorite podcast app.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Seam heads rejoice. This is Timmy time.
Baseball is the greatest game.
With Tim Kirkchen.
It never disappoints you.
On Baseball Tonight.
And Tim Kirkchen covers baseball for ESPN. And Tim, I knew Mike Bell to say hello, but I didn't know him well. I know David Bell better. You know that family so well. Tell me about Mike Bell.
Well, he was a great kid. Buddy texted me yesterday and said he was a beautiful kid who's grown into a beautiful man. And that's exactly who he was. I'm telling you, Buster, Buddy Bell is the one guy that I look at and say, this is the way a major leaguer is supposed to act, how to conduct himself, and how to treat people around the game. Buddy treated the owner and the clubhouse guy in exactly the same way. My first spring with the Rangers in 82, Buddy recognized I was totally overmatched, and instead of burying me, he helped me. And that's what he passed along to all his sons. And David Bell, as we know, is as good a guy as you'll ever meet. And so was Michael Bell. And I can't tell you, Buster, in spring training, how many times I saw those little Bell kids running around. And to see them grow up the way that they have and do the things that they've done, it was just heartbreaking for me to see that Mike Bell had passed. And it had happened so quickly. In 6 weeks' time, he went from the diagnosis to death. And it was just heartbreaking. And Buddy is one of my favorite people of all time in the game. Nobody taught his sons better than Buddy Bell. And with Gus Bell, the grandfather, who also was one of the great people you ever met, that Bell family is right on the top of the list for me. And to lose one of them at age 46 was just devastating.
And especially for the Twins, who I think you would agree with me, they have really developed this incredible culture within their organization. Derek Falvey at the head of baseball operations, Rocco Baldelli, their manager, Nelson Cruz, a great leader in their clubhouse. And I was thinking about this when I heard this news that, boy, you know that this is the type of news that'll absolutely it'll be something that'll just devastate this group of people.
Yeah. As we always say, Buster, when someone in the game dies, a member of the family died. And this is more than just a member of the Bell family. This is a member of the baseball family and a cherished member, not just for the Twins, but for the entire game. But you're right. The Twins are really close with the way they do things. It started with Ron Gardenhire and the way he brings the coaches and everybody together. And it's really been extended to Rocco Baldelli. So I just don't know how you get through things like this for a while. It's just such devastating news.
All right, let's talk about some issues with injuries that are going on with other teams. And look, in the last week, it feels like every day we're hearing about three or four different things that are developing with various teams. The one that really jumped out to me over the weekend was Eduardo Rodriguez, who, of course, coming back from COVID last year, he wasn't able to pitch at all in 2020. The Red Sox are very hopeful about how he was looking. They lined him up to be the opening day starter. And he was scratched from that responsibility because he's dealing with a dead arm, which is not uncommon in spring training. But for this team at this time, that feels especially important.
Yeah, I really thought the Red Sox were a team that you'd look at and say they're going to be way better than people think and they're going to make a huge jump. And I still think that's possible, but I'm thinking less of that because Eduardo Rodriguez is their best pitcher. And for him to be not eligible or not ready to pitch on opening day with a dead arm after everything he went through last year, you know, a lot of people go through dead arms, but when you miss the whole season and you've had a heart issue like he did, it makes you really wonder. And again, this is way more important to get that guy healthy, but the Red Sox are not making any sort of playoff run without Eduardo Rodriguez being the guy who won 19 games a couple of years ago. And at the start, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So that's a bad loss for the Red Sox. Kirby Yates with the Blue Jays, though, Buster, I know they have a really good bullpen anyway, and I know they have a really good team, but they were really counting on that guy to be, you know, their premier closer. They spent some money on him. They built around him, and he's going to miss the season. So I think they have pieces to close games, but you lose your closer 10 days before the season starts, that's not a good sign either.
We saw a team over the weekend lose the home run champion, the Yankees, lose Luke Voit, their first baseman, a meniscus tear. He's going to be out probably about 6 weeks, something in that range. And yet that lineup is so deep that my reaction when I saw that was, oh, they'll be fine. What about you?
Well, Voit led the major leagues in homers last year, and he would have hit 40 this year, I think, if he played the whole year. Now, I'm not so sure about that. But Buster, you know, it's a little bit more than just the home runs he hits. It's the energy that he brings. As Giancarlo Stanton once said, he said, yeah, Luke walked in the clubhouse today, him and all his muscles, and with that big smile and that giant personality that he has, I think he lifts everyone, and not having him for a month, I think is going to hurt more than he will in the lineup. Jay Bruce is going to hit some home runs, especially to right field at Yankee Stadium. And goodness knows they have enough hitters all throughout that lineup. But I think it's the mental part more than anything. I think the Yankees will be fine. I think Luke Voit will come back swinging in the middle of May, let's say, and all will be well in the Bronx.
So the other day, Steve Cohen, the new owner of the Mets, was tweeting out to fans, basically saying, oh, what do you think a Lindor contract will look like in the midst of conversations going on between the All-Star shortstop and the Mets? And the moment that I saw that tweet, Tim, my thought was, there's no chance he sends out that sort of a tweet unless he knows that a deal's going to get done. Because the only other way that you could perceive something like that would be that he's putting pressure on the player. So I figure they're probably at the 1 yard line on any negotiation they're doing. How did you read it?
Well, that's how I read it also. And let's face it, Buster, with the excitement in Queens right now, how can you not re-sign him long term before this season starts? Otherwise, if they're going to hold to there are no negotiations once the season begins, that start to the season is going to be tempered. But imagine Jacob deGrom walking to the mound on opening day knowing the shortstop is signed long term, and everyone in the fan, all the fans, the whole crowd knows this is our guy long term. I think this is going to get done. I've thought it all along, but it just is going to maybe take a little bit longer, but they're running out of time. But my guess is it'll be done before opening day.
Lindor will be the second batter in our game on Thursday night. And I suspect by the time he steps in the box, he probably will know that he has a contract that starts with the number 3, as in $300 million plus. On the other hand, we heard from Jesse Rogers, our friend at ESPN yesterday, that there are no contract deals on the horizon for Anthony Rizzo, for Javier Baez, for Chris Bryant. I think this team is absolutely poised for a massive midseason sell-off, Tim. These are three guys who could hit the mark in the fall, and there's no way that Jed Hoyer, as he retools this organization, is going to let those three guys walk away and get nothing in return.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right, Buster. The Cubs, have made it fairly clear we're trying to save money here, and they're not going to save money by re-signing those guys long-term, any of the three. And once Baez gets going and has a great year, he might price himself out of the Cubs situation. Anthony Rizzo, so important to that team. He's the heart and soul of that club in a lot of ways. You better do something with him. But Chris Bryant is different. He hasn't played very well in a couple of years. He hasn't looked all that good this spring. So they've got a lot of work to do there. And I did the thematics with their team, Buster, like you did with a lot of other teams and maybe the Cubs. And that was one of the questions. Do you guys feel like you got to get off to a good start to avoid a midseason sell-off? And there was a lot of hesitation there with those answers because they're very difficult questions to answer right now.
Tell me, am I wrong? If the Cubs wind up having a midseason sell-off and Anthony Rizzo is one of the pieces moved, a team that absolutely is a perfect fit for Anthony Rizzo would be the New York Yankees.
Well, he would be perfect with that left-handed swing down the right field line. He, as we've talked, he's the leader on many teams. He would be an upgrade defensively over Luke Voit when Voit comes back, and he's got a World Series under his belt. Imagine adding that guy to that team. That would be pretty sweet for the Yankees.
Another left-handed hitter who could be made available by the Cubs in midseason is having a nice spring training. How about Jock Peterson?
Okay. Well, Peterson with a characteristic daddy hack right there, and that one is gone. Two-run homer. And the Cubs are on the board.
Tim, they're going to play him against right-handers. They're going to play him against left-handers. It feels like that they're absolutely sort of pumping him up for the big audition so they could get a lot in return. That would be an interesting guy in the trade market.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 30-homer guy who's going to hit 40 this year, Buster, if he plays every day. And I think it's about time to see if Jock Peterson can play every day against all tough left-handers and see how many home runs he can hit. And let's not forget, he used to be a premier defensive center fielder. He should add some defense to the corner outfields there. And I think he's going to have a really good year. And if the Cubs are truly interested in selling people off long-term, let's say he's great by mid-season, maybe he goes to a contender. But I think it's time for him to stay in one spot, even though he's been with the Dodgers, and see what he can do. That power stroke's legit, and he's had a great spring.
So we got official word yesterday from the Angels that the starter next Sunday night baseball, Angels playing host Chicago White Sox, on the mound, Shohei Ohtani, at the end of this phenomenal spring training. And the big question all week, Tim, is going to be, will Joe Maddon forego the designated hitter and put him two in the lineup and start him? I think absolutely that's going to happen because you know Joe Maddon.
Yeah, Joe is a riverboat gambler. It's the right thing to do. Guys had a great spring. You know, Jake Odorizzi told me something the other day, Buster. He said, how many guys have you ever heard of who can throw 100 miles an hour and hit 100 miles an hour? You know, we've talked about guys who can throw 100 and hit a ball 450. We might have some other people who are capable maybe of doing that. But when you put it the other way, He can throw 100 and hit 100. That's pretty darned impressive. And Michael Lorenzen said this spring, he's the most exciting player in the game. And in those thematics that we did, Buster, that was one of the questions. Who's the most exciting player in baseball? We got a lot of Tatis and Lindor and Soto and people like that. But I got several Shohei Ohtanis. And I just hope that he bats when he pitches, because that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'd hit him leadoff too, because we haven't been doing that for 100 years. And to have a pitcher hit leadoff or second, I love it. It's great.
This spring, Tim, he had 571. He with an OPS of 1701, 5 homers, 3 strikeouts. He had more home runs than strikeouts this spring. And I know it's spring training statistics. I know it's not a big sample size, but man, he has looked phenomenal. Juan Soto has not put up good numbers this spring, but you and I both know that we just dismiss those because he is that good. And one of the questions for the Nationals is, where do you hit Soto in the lineup and how do you protect him? And I asked Dave Martinez about that yesterday on a Zoom call. We're going to hear from him in a second. But it looks like they're going to hit him second and Josh Bell is going to bat behind him. I still have to believe he's going to get the Barry Bonds treatment this year. Yes.
Well, I think you got to be real careful because, first off, you got to get him up in the first inning. I'm a big believer. I'm not hitting a guy fourth. I want him hitting in the first inning no matter what. And they need protection, and Josh Bell has to be the player he was 2 years ago to afford that protection. The Barry Bonds treatment is just different than any other treatment in history, though. Remember, 2004, whatever that year was, 222 walks. 120 intentional walks. He got walked 8 times with the bases empty, intentionally walked 8 times with the bases empty. So I don't think we'll ever see again anything like the Barry Bonds treatment, but this is going to be similar because they're not going to pitch to him because he's too good right now. And Josh Bell has to be great. And without Anthony Rendon and with some offensive issues behind Soto, you just got to hope that he takes his walks, but he may have to expand the strike zone once in a while in order to drive in some runs. But this is a tricky spot. And Carter Kieboom going down to the minor leagues did not help things as they were counting on him, even as a rookie, to maybe bring something. And that's not going to happen, at least at the start of the season.
All right, Tim. Great to talk with you.
All right. Good to see you, Buster. Good luck in your travels.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Dave Martinez was on a Zoom with reporters yesterday talking about Juan Soto, the Barry Bonds treatment, and where he's going to have Soto in the lineup. Give a listen.
Last year, he hit second, he hit fourth, third. I think this year, I want him to bat second. I want to keep him second. We got Josh Bell, we got Schwarber, we have Castro hitting behind him, and I think that's going to work. I mean, the good thing about Soto is that he understands the strike zone, and we talk to him all the time about not expanding the strike zone, take his walks, and he understands that. The big thing for him is when he gets a pitch that he thinks he can hit, he doesn't miss him. He's pretty good about, make good solid contact, as we all know. So, but that's the way I see it right now, where, he bats second.
Is that a struggle for him at all, Davey? You think in his mind, like a lot of young players, in terms of chasing out of the zone?
For him, it hasn't been a struggle in the past. When he does struggle, it's typically that, he's chasing. We always remind him, hey, just take your walks, but he's been pretty good. And I think nothing really bothers him, whether, he's hitting second, third, fourth. I mean, he wants to do whatever he can to help us win. But he's just such a really good hitter. He understands what he wants to do. When he's up there, he understands how to break down pitchers, especially during his at-bats and what they're trying to do. So he's a special individual when it comes to hitting. Anyway, we put him in the lineup. He doesn't, we talk to him. He says, I don't really care who hits behind me, who is in front of me. I just want to play and I want to help a club win.
Thanks, Davey.
Rob Beer Temple covers the Pittsburgh Pirates for The Athletic. And Rob, look, there's a lot of ugly here going on in Pittsburgh. So let's start out with a cool thing. Let's go glass half full at the beginning. Cabrian Hayes, what are you seeing him? Because what I've heard from evaluators is he might be one of the best players, not just one of the best rookies, but one of the best players in the National League very soon.
We saw it in his very first game with the Pirates last year. There was a little dribbler hit to, toward third base, kind of that no man's land on the grass between third and short. And so many times in the past, I've seen that ball go for an infield single or an infield single with a two base throwing error or an inside the park home run or something like that. But Cabrian charged it, never even gave a thought to the shortstop. I forget who was at short, might have been Gonzalez that day, scooped it barehanded, made a running throw, smack on the money to first base to get the runner in a bang bang play. And, in the press box, from our socially distanced 6 feet seating assignment, we're just looking at each other like, what did we just see? Because that was a big league play by a big league third baseman, something the Pirates have not had for years, really, when you think about it. And the kid didn't disappoint after that. You kept waiting for him to stumble over those final, 24, 25 games he played in. But he never did. He just kept producing, produced with the bat, produced with the glove. He's a smart base runner. He's got a little bit of speed. He's got, I think, kind of a little bit of surprising power. We'll kind of see how that develops. That's one of the few question marks about this kid. Really just what the Pirates have been waiting for, a bona fide big league player, an impact guy.
And I hear that his defense, from evaluators, I've only watched him play on television a couple times, and because of where we are with COVID, I haven't gotten a chance to see him in person. I hear that he's going to be right in that class of the Matt Chapmans and the Nolan Arenados defensively.
Yeah, I mean, a three-time minor league Gold Glove winner, and a kid really who just, he's been presented with every kind of play. Not so much in spring training. It's weird we haven't seen a ton of balls hit to him. But last September, backhanded plays, diving plays, hot smashes down the line, high hoppers, in between plays. And it seems that he just has that instinct, that you can see some basemen, third basemen, they're like doing the math in their head as their feet are moving, like, what do I do here? Cabrian just has that little it factor. And I guess, maybe having Charlie Hayes as a dad helps. But the kid just knows instinctively where to put his body, how he's going to set up the play before the play even happens. And, I don't want to sound like a homer here, but I'm just, it's hard not to gush about the kid because he really does. He's a level-headed kid, and defensively, he's superb.
It's easy to go glass half empty on the Pirates, and we will in a second. But before we go there, tell me about other building blocks that you see sort of taking shape in the big leagues.
Boy, in the big leagues? I can look at left field and Brian Reynolds. Yeah, last season was just a train wreck for him. He hit, like .160 or something. It was just terrible from the giddy up, and it never got better. His timing was off all season. But I really think the kid's hit at every level in which he's played. He had a great rookie season with the Pirates. He's defensively, the left field at PNC Park, it's roomy, and you got to have, in addition to some speed, you got to have some smarts out there. And he has both. And that gives him a big leg up. They've talked about maybe sticking him in center a couple of times just to keep him familiar with that position. And he can handle that as well, I think. So he's a guy who I would think, 4 or 5 years from now, could, still be with this team, still be a building block type player. But you look around the rest of the, just sticking with the position players, You look, Jacob Stallings is a 30-something-year-old catcher. He'll be gone in a year or two. Colin Moran at first base, he's already into his arb years, so that means, you know, you're on your way out the door in Pittsburgh. Second base, Adam Frazier has been on the trade market for the past 2 years. It's just a matter of time. Shortstop could be Kevin Newman, probably going to be Kevin Newman. Eric Gonzalez backing him up. Neither one of them, I think, is a long-term answer. Anthony Alford, Dustin Fowler, your center field options on opening day. Maybe you can reignite one or, you know, of those guys to some degree and keep them around for a couple of 3 years. Right field, Gregory Polanco, the clock is ticking. We're all just waiting for them to take O'Neill Cruz, one of their top prospects from short, a 6'7" shortstop, and make him the next right fielder of the future in Pittsburgh. So position player wise, you know, just those two guys on the left side, Cabrian and Reynolds. Pitching wise, maybe Mitch Keller, if he can get it together. He's had some problems with fastball command. His stuff doesn't move a lot. And this spring, he's been trying to pitch up in the zone more. And it's been working to a degree, but his off-speed offerings he just hasn't commanded them very well at all. So he remains, at the start of what will be his third year in the big leagues, still a work in progress. As for the rest of the rotation, you would think Chad Kuhl is probably going to be moved eventually. Tyler Anderson, Trevor Cahill were just rentals. JT Brubaker, prospect, the back end of the rotation guy, he'll be here for a couple of years. But, you know, all their building blocks, all their best players and prime talent is still, you know, in the low minors for the most part.
Wow. It does feel a lot like the Baltimore Orioles situation where this team is probably years from being relevant. The one difference I feel like is that in the American League East, if you're the Orioles, you're staring up at absolute monster teams, monster franchises in the Yankees. You know, the Blue Jays are getting better. The Rays do what the Rays do. The Red Sox are good. So the challenge for the Orioles is so difficult. But on the other hand, Pirates are in a division where we're not seeing a lot of aggression with these teams. When do you think that the Pirates might arrive back into relevance in the National League Central?
I think their window kind of opens. The window probably opens, let's say 2024, but I don't know if they're going to be, you know, ready right out of the gate. I'm thinking maybe 25 even before, because they got, you know, there's some guys they have. The whole middle infield is going to look different with like Nick Gonzalez and Liover Peguero, who they got in the starting Marte trade, who looks, you know, like he could be the real thing at shortstop. They got some pitching. They still need to get some more arms. To really, you know, if they want to have a true homegrown rotation, which is, you know, what you got to do in Pittsburgh, they still have need to get some arms there. You'll see a couple of those guys maybe this year. Miguel Yajure is the guy that got the Tyone deal from the Yankees. Looked really good so far in spring. He's going to start the season in the minors, but I would think by August he'll be in the rotation maybe to stay. But again, so you get all those pieces up there and then kind of get them that one. You know how it takes that one season where everybody just kind of gets to, you know, to know each other at the big league level. Yeah, I think 2025 is probably when we're looking to see some significant moves toward playoff contention by this team.
Wow. Yeah, glass half empty. All right, Rob, thank you. Good to talk with you.
Hey, no problem, Buster. Take care and pray for us.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for Monday. And first off, I want to mention baseball is back on ESPN this week, and you will be a part of the broadcast. That is Nationals, Mets. Is that at 7 p.m. on Thursday evening?
7 p.m. on Thursday evening. And then on Sunday, the first Sunday night game, we've got the Angels and the White Sox. Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Angels. Yes. We're hoping that he's going to bat second for the Angels. And we got a lot of other broadcasts as well. So definitely check your listings for all the games on ESPN in the next week or so.
We'll be pushing all of those throughout the week and throughout the season, as well as the radio broadcast. Let's get to the tweets. We have a bunch of bird sounds coming in, which we love, and we will play one of them this morning. This one is from Phil Gordon, Earl of Surrey Hill. He writes in, here is the dawn chorus from down under in Sydney, Australia. Indian minna birds, Australian finches, and kookaburras. Enjoy, and hopefully you can showcase them on the Baseball Tonight podcast. Here is the sound.
Wow.
They're going nuts.
I love that.
Very cool.
Did we say it's spring? Because it definitely is spring.
Absolutely. Thank you for the board sounds, Phil, and we'll keep playing those throughout the week. We'll just have one tweet for today. Jeff Trimmer at JTrim32, he writes, and how come college baseball coaches have not been hired by Major League Baseball as managers? For example, with all of Tim Corbin's success at Vanderbilt, one would think a Major League Baseball team would have hired him away by now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the one thing is that like Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt is like the king of that universe. And right, the way the managers are treated by teams these days, I've said they're closer to being the White House spokesperson than they are the president. You know, it's just a very different situation. And also, from what I understand, you know, college coaches, the elite college coaches, they make a ton of money. They make more money than I think a lot of first time managers do in baseball. So I think some college coaches have to take a pay cut, and it's just different too. The relationship between the coaches and the players, I think, in college levels, is very different than what we see at the big league level.
All righty. Great perspective. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Dave Martinez and Tim, Rob, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight Podcast.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.